So, Parsha Shalach talks about the spies, and the basic story was 12 people were sent to Israel, Eretz Israel, to check it out. It was a place worthy of them going, and they came back and they gave a very negative response. And during this response, 10 of the 12 spies spoke negatively, and two were on the other side, Kalev and Yehoshua. Let's see what Oskol has on the side here. Oskol says, the spies report, Kalev is shouted down, but he tried to do something. He got shouted down. Kalev said, Kalev silenced the people and said, why? We shall surely ascend and conquer it. We will surely do it. He was trying to motivate him. Didn't work. And Hashem decided the punishment was going to be death in the desert for the entire crowd. They're not making it out of the desert. They're going to roam the desert now for 39 years until they die out. And then it says like this. This is the puzzle we're going to discuss. Here it says, what did we miss before? Israel's threatened with extermination. Moshe Rabbeinu successfully prays that they don't get exterminated, but they get slowly passing away in the desert years. And then it says over here in 807, God forgives and decrees 40 years of wandering. All in hindsight. But now we're going to read a pasuk. So it says, and Hashem said, I have forgiven because of your word, but as I live, all the men who have seen my glory and my signs I did in Egypt and the wilderness and tested me, they're out. They will not see the land as I have sworn to give to their forefathers. I told them originally, they're out of it. Here goes the crucial pasuk, 24. 14, 24. But my servant Kalev, because a different spirit was with him, and he followed me, capital M, God talking, me wholeheartedly, I shall bring him to the land to which he came, and his offspring shall possess it. So everyone else is going to pass away in the Midbar, because they trusted the negative report. And God saying, I swear these guys are not going to make it out. But, always the but, there's always an exception. The exception is going to be Kalev, because a different spirit was with him, obviously. We said before, he protested, and he was not part of he didn't join the crowd of 10 spies. And he followed me, he followed God's ways, the right way, wholeheartedly. And guess what? I'm going to bring him to the land, not his kids, everyone else's kids, him to the land, and what's going to happen? His kids will possess it. But after him, he's going to get there himself as well. That's what it says. Now, the most obvious question of all time, even for a rookie, the obvious question has to be this. We said 5 minutes ago, how many spies went?
10.
12 went. And 10 spoke negatively. Basic math. 12 minus 10, are you good?
Two.
No cheating? 12 minus 10 is 2. So if I have to tell you right now, from the generation of the spies, we know Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't make it out. We now have 10 of the 12, they're out. How many people are going to make it to Israel? Two. But yet here it says what? But, you know who's going to make it there to Israel? Kalev. It only says one. So the early commentators, the early commentators, we're going back 800 years. The early commentators, we can cut that out. The early commentators, 800 years, already asked that what it should have said was, all these people who believe the bad report, I swear these people are not going to make it. Their kids will inherit. But you know who himself is going to get into Israel and be able to do it? And their kids will be there after them? Kalev and Yeshua, Joshua. So it's such an obvious question. A four-year-old should ask this. It doesn't make any sense. There were 12 spies. Everyone was bad. And it says everyone's not going to make it. And by the way, trick question. Did Yeshua make it to the land of Israel? Yes. That's 101. Judaism 101. There's a whole literal book named Joshua about when he's in Eretz Yisrael. So if you would say for some reason Joshua did something else wrong, God forbid, and he got punished for a different reason, so it makes sense. Everyone has to get stuck in the desert because of sin A, of the spies. Kalev will make it out and make it to Eretz Yisrael, and Joshua doesn't make it out. Okay, you can come up with some that you can't say that. Joshua didn't make it. Joshua didn't die in the desert. Joshua made it into Eretz Yisrael. So again, the most obvious question of all time is, how does the pasuk only say Kalev and not Yeshua as well? And just for the record, a couple different times here, it's going to mention Kalev and Yeshua. It's not the only time I mention them. Here it's like a few psukim later, when it talks, it says, if you shall come to the land by which I have raised my hand in oath to settle you there, everyone except for Kalev and Yeshua. So a few times it does mention Kalev and Yeshua. But here, when God's saying, I forgive you, I'm going to forgive you and let you live, but you're staying in the desert, except for two people that are going to make it across. He doesn't say except for two people. He only says except for one most obvious question around. Now, the approaches that have to be, there are going to be different approaches. The simplest way of doing it is what they're going to do is the rabbis from 700, 800 years ago and more recently, is they're going to look at this pasuk and say, the words of this verse, the words of this pasuk are specifically can only be applied to Kalev and can't be applied to Yeshua. So yes, of course, in reality, all of the people are going to pass away in the desert and Kalev and Yeshua are going to make it across. But when he said these words in the pasuk, but Kalev, we're about to read the words again slowly, it can only be applicable to Kalev, and that's what it meant. It's not only Kalev will get across, but only Kalev will get across with these conditions or these attributes that I'm about to say. Now we have to read the pasuk again slowly then. 24 says, the Avdi Kalev, my servant Kalev, I think it's fair to guess that Yeshua would be called the servant as well. That would not distinguish between Kalev and Yeshua. Ekev hoyse ruach acheres imay, because a different spirit was with him. And he followed me wholeheartedly, I shall bring him to the land which he came, and his offspring shall possess it. So they want to say that somewhere in these words, it could only be applicable to Kalev, not Yeshua. Either Kalev was only a servant, either Kalev could only be considered a different spirit, either Kalev only followed me wholeheartedly, either Kalev shall have offspring that shall possess it. In one of those areas, it's going to be just Kalev, not Yeshua, and that's why Yeshua is left out. But of course, in reality, Yeshua made it across. Are you following? There has to be something in this verse that separates Yeshua and Kalev, and that's why Kalev. So for the easy answer, let's say, I'm going to do the easiest first. We're not going to go into this at length, because that's going to be different classes I'm giving, and we're going to send an email this week. But the easiest response would be this. The last words of the pasuk say, Kalev has a different spirit with him. He follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land, and his offspring shall possess it. So the Cheskuni, several hundred years ago, says, I'll tell you very simple. You know why it says Kalev not Yeshua? Because Yeshua didn't have kids that could possess the land. Since God's saying in this pasuk, again, Yeshua is going to make it across. But I'm saying the detail, everyone else is going to be stay here in the desert. Their kids will come across. Kalev is going to come across, and then his kids will inherit. Can't say it on Yeshua. Yeshua had no kids. Simplest answer. I mean, I think it's a very simple answer. Once you know the details. That means before you came into the class tonight, you might not have realized that Kalev didn't have any, that Yeshua didn't have any kids. But once you're now aware of a new detail, that Yeshua had no kids, it makes very sense. Of course Yeshua makes it across. But since I'm detailing right now, one of the reasons that to go across is because Yeshua, well, not Yeshua, because I'm bringing you across that your kids shall inherit it, and Yeshua had no children, then Yeshua cannot be mentioned in this pasuk. And it only mentions Kalev, as by the way, only Kalev is going to make it across, whose kids will inherit it. Yeshua will make it across, but since his kids won't inherit, he's not mentioned in the pasuk. Easy answer. That answer is the reason why we're not going to that right now. That is a open Pandora's box. Is that an accurate statement that Yeshua had no kids? I mean, the only way that answer works is if you say Yeshua had no kids. Is that a true statement?
Yeah.
That's two different answers, potentially. He had no kids and he had no kids yet. You have to figure it out. But right now we're learning, according to Charles, or according to at some point right now, Kalev and Yeshua would separate it from each other because Kalev had kids right now and God was saying his kids will go across with Kalev and they'll inherit it from Kalev. Everyone else, they're going to stay here, pass away, and their kids are going to go across. Yeshua, with no kids, he's out. Now, just for the side thing.
He wasn't married.
You could say he wasn't married.
So he didn't even fulfill the mitzvah of having children.
Either way, it doesn't matter about the mitzvah, but you're right. But you are right. But either way, if he's not married and has no children, since the pasuk here is saying, and the offspring shall possess it, it would not be applicable to Yeshua. Now, again, there is a great debate on this statement. Is it true Yeshua didn't have kids at all now? Did he not have kids ever? And when you go through what I'm going to send out the weekly, there are several Talmudic passages that seem to be contradictory in this area. Did Yeshua have kids or not? That's why we're not going into that now.
At this point in the desert.
So you could say, now, the problem with saying that answer, at this point he had no kids, is because God is speaking, I'm going to have everyone pass away here except for Kalev, whose kids will inherit. I would say that there's a possibility to say that if Yeshua was going to have kids at any point, and they were going to inherit at any point, even 70 years down the road, there's no reason not to say it right now. God is not talking about what's going to happen right now. Right now, they're staying in the desert 39 years. He's saying in 39 years from now, 40 years from now, Kalev is going to cross over, and his kids will inherit it. So if Yeshua will have kids in 50 years from now, then it's the same thing. Now, you could say, which you are saying, that if he didn't have kids right now, then so now we have a separate question. If the Torah right now is saying something that happened, an event in 50 years, does it go by the details that are occurring right in front of you, and he had no kids? Or no, but in 50 years he will have kids, and it should go by those 50-year future events? That's a general question, how you read the Torah.
Is it possible they're only girl children and the thing about Slavikot hasn't been given out yet?
That is shockingly impressive. Insanely
so maybe
impressive.
God knows you only have girl kids. Girl kids don't inherit.
At this, his
at
point
this
of history,
point in time.
I was not going to say this, but Charles has hit more than last week, by the way. Home run city. There is an open Talmudic passage that said, are you aware, Akiva said that Yeshua was not married. Are you aware who Yeshua did marry eventually? Rachva. So Rachva, Rachva. I think it's a hey at the end, female. There is an innkeeper in the story of Joshua that helps the Jews spy on the land. And then the Talmud says Yeshua marries her. And the Talmud says that, good, well, Charles on fire. And the Talmud says that she converted and they had girls. So the, everyone asks, wait a second. Do we believe girls inherit? Yes, we believe girls inherit. When there's a Jewish law, when there are sons, a better word. When there are sons, daughters do not inherit. But if there are no sons, daughters do inherit. So they want to tell Rabbi Cheskuni gave this answer. Let's go step by step. The question is, why isn't Yeshua mentioned in this pasuk? Rabbi Cheskuni says, because Yeshua never had any kids. They say, well, Rabbi Cheskuni, Yeshua never had any kids. That's not true. There's an open Talmudic passage that he married Rachba and had girls. So Rav Cheskuni doesn't answer, but that's what everyone says for him. Oh, yeah, but girls don't inherit. Like, whoa. Girls do inherit when there's no sons. When there are sons, girls don't have. When there are daughters only, then daughters inherit. So the question becomes, Rabbi Cheskuni, how can you say he has no inheritors, and that's why he's left out of this pasuk? He has inheritors. So one of the great genius answers, said by great rabbis 100 years ago, and by Rav Chassid, ties into last week's question, because you did ask me last week, if the Benos Salofka were the only person who only had girls. They want to say genius. The law of daughters inheriting when there are no sons, when do we learn that? That's later on. And it happens to be this week's parasha, I think. No, last week's parasha. But it happens later on. That means in history speaking, when the story of the spies occurred and they got punished to remain in the desert, at that moment in time, if there was a family that only produced daughters, no one knew what was going to happen. Probably nothing. Probably the uncles would inherit. At that point in history, later on, these daughters of Salofkot, five girls, there were five girls in a family with no sons, and they came forward and said, wait a second, we deserve something here. And God said, you know what? When there's no boys, girls inherit. So, but that's in 38 years from now. That's before they're about to enter Israel. But for the 39 years in the desert, it is very possible to assume that during the 30, if you would have asked someone, by the way, what's the law for a guy only has girls? They would have said, goes to the uncles. It happens to be that's not true. The question never came up because in the desert, there's no inheritances. No one owned the land anyway. So it's only when they're about to enter Israel that the daughters of Salafchad came forward and said, wait a second, we want a portion of land in Israel here. We love Israel. So God said, yeah, you're right. You do get a portion. So at that moment in time, it became revealed that the law now is that girls inherit when there's no sons. But until that moment, we didn't know about that. And therefore, at this moment in time, it could be that Yeshua had girls as well from a different wife, but it didn't make a difference. At this point in time, there were no inheritors. And therefore, when the Torah said, color is not Yeshua, it meant inheritors because he had boys, not girls. It happens to be that there is an open Talmudic passage. Man, way off base tonight. But we got to do it. The Talmud says like this. Talmud says, if someone gives a halachic ruling, a law ruling in front of his rabbi, the punishment is no kids. Talmud Avodah Zarah 63. If a man makes a ruling in front of his rabbi, the Gemara says, okay, that's a very radical view. You violate Shabbos, it doesn't say you have no children. And if you have children, they die, it doesn't say that. You get punished, stoned to death. So, whoa, radical move. If you speak in front of your rabbi, halachically, you give a law ruling, not just speak in front of him, then you get no kids. The Gemara says, okay, where do you know that thing from? Oh, I'll tell you where. From Joshua. Why? Because Joshua, in last week's parsha, gave an halachic ruling in front of Moshe, and the Gemara says there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayom that implies Joshua had no kids. So here you have a Talmudic passage saying that Joshua had no children. We have an open contradiction now. We have an open Talmudic passage saying that a punishment for speaking in front of your rabbi is no kids. Joshua is example A, and we have a Talmudic passage saying that Joshua married Rachba, converted her, and had a girl. So we definitely have a problem. Did Joshua have children? Girls or not, but clearly, almost clearly, he didn't have any boys, ever.
So now I want to apply that statement. Could that statement also be applied to, you can have kids, but God says that you have no inheritance, because that no inheritance means like you have kids, but you have no inheritance.
That how?
Because like, okay, let's
Once
say.
there's children, the God allows the world to work the way it's supposed to work. So when someone has a child, the child automatically inherits.
Right, okay.
Because God allows, God himself follows the rules. He set up the rules and he follows the rules. And again, he does miracles and he breaks things, but overall he stays within the system. So if someone has a child, the system takes over. A boy inherits, and when if there's one boy and 10 girls, I don't know if you have 10 sisters, but if one boy and 10, in biblical law, you get everything. Now, if there's no boys, then the girls inherit. In biblical law, the rabbis have changed it for the sake of family unity. Next answer. So again, we're back to the original question. The original question is, why does the Torah only say Kalev and not Yeshua? And there are different approaches. One approach, based on Akiva's word, is this. When it says, actually, we'll do it a little differently. When it says, Ruach HaCheres Imoy, he had a different spirit among him. So we're praising something. The simple way of reading is it, is that Kalev was did not go along with the spies. The question is, nor did Yeshua. He didn't go along with the spies either. So why wouldn't it say Yeshua? Different. Because Kalev had a different spirit meant that Yeshua did not at any point convince the spies he was with them. At a certain point, Kalev was going along with the crowd. Even when he got up and said, you know what, I want to tell you something. All the spies thought he was with them. They knew Yeshua was a goody two-shoes snitcher. They understood that the whole time. They weren't going to listen to Yeshua. But Kalev played both sides. In fact, the phrase is, his name, Kalev Echad Bepe'echad. He was in his heart, it was really in one direction, but he spoke a different direction. He was a spy. One of the earliest spies in history. It was Kalev when he went with the spies. Play on words.
What do you call it? Double spy.
He was a double agent. Is that the word, double agent? Yeah. He was a double agent because he went with all the spies went to Israel, and 10 of them were clear anti. Yeshua was clear pro, and Kalev convinced the 10 he's with them. So what happened was because he was also with them, I'm adding on now. We have a famous question we brought in this class many times. The story says, when Yaakov passed away, they went to bury him in the Maaseh Pele in Hebron. And Esav was standing at the gate there, and Esav said, no, you don't get, you took your spot. We were brothers. He gets one spot, I get the other. There's only two spots left in the grave. He gets one, I get one. Okay, he gave one to his wife. I get the next spot. There's only two spots left. So he said to Yaakov, Leah took your spot, I get the next spot. Do not bury Yaakov in this spot. But everyone had known that that was a true statement of reality. But Yaakov had bought from Esav his portion. But Esav was standing there and he was causing a fight. And at one point it says, the Gemara says, Serach, not Serach, Hushim ben Don, who was deaf, was waiting around by the funeral procession. And he turns to everyone, he goes, listen, what's going on here? Why are we wasting so much time? And they sent a message to him, and they signed language. They told him, listen, Esav's in the front of the line. He's not letting us go into the place to bury him. He goes, why not? Because Esav claims it's his. Goes, but we know it's not his. Yeah, but we left the contract in Egypt. We got to go back and get it. He got up and he killed Esav for delaying the funeral procession, burial procession. Reb Chaim Shulevitz in his famous question says, why did it give him the details that Hushim ben Don was deaf? Who cares? He had the guts to say, I'm going to kill this guy. Why? He's deaf. Who cares if he's deaf? He'll say it was left-handed or right-handed, 6'2". Who cares? It's not a detail. His death didn't make him a stronger swordsman. So Reb Chaim Shulevitz says a great idea, applicable to all of us even today. Sometimes we have to close the ears on stupidity. Because when you start listening to the other side, you become influenced on some level. Even if it's not 100%. You become influenced when you hear, when the words enter into your ears. Even if it's 100% insane, it has a minuscule, depending on how much you believe it. I think we gave the example years ago in this class. If I would say right now that Charles has a third hand, of course you're not going to believe it, but there's a tenth of a second, a billionth of a deal thing. Maybe something I don't know about. Even though it's nonsense. So what has to happen is, the guy who's deaf who never heard the arguments wins. Kalev, this is the problem of all double spies. All double spies and all undercover agents, if you watch enough TV, which you shouldn't, of course, after a while, some of them just become what they acting like. That means the person is an undercover agent and working for the mafioso or drug cartel, and after a while they become bad. Why? Because they're enmeshed in that society, they're listening and hearing. It's very hard to live that split dual life. Kalev was living that split life. Much harder to turn around than say, these guys are no good. Joshua had his ears closed, he had his head in the Gemara, he wasn't listening. So since he wasn't listening, he wasn't part of the whole equation. So what does it say here? But my servant Kalev, because a different spirit was with him, can't say those words on Yeshua. Yeshua was consistent the whole time. So it's saying, of course Yeshua is going to go into Israel. I'm not discussing Yeshua. We know he's going in. We know his kids are going to inherit. If he has kids or not, not for now. We know. I want to point out what the greatness of Kalev was. The greatness of what Kalev was, he had a separate spirit in him. He lived in one world, and then he really was living in a second world as well. The double agent. And the double agent gets the extra credit. And therefore, they have to point out, that's impressive by him.
How did he get how did he get a different spirit? Because he did wait. And he went to
the Chevron. I will give a similar answer. We're on fire time. The Netziv, Rosh Hashiva Velozhin, says the reason why the Torah specifies Kalev here is because there's a different spirit. And the different spirit goes back to him going to Chevron, but he adds on a detail no one would ever think of. He says, let's go to the Pasuk where it says he went to Chevron. Bayalu Benegev, this is in Pasuk Chav Beis earlier, they came to the south, Vayovoi singular ad Chevron. And there were giants there. So the Netziv says, the Rashi says, the singular Chevron meant only one person went, Kalev. What's the details of giants there? What's all that? So he says, Chevron was a fortified city. And there was a place to daven. But the other spies were like, you know what? We'll daven from here. We'll think about it. You know that famous joke? They tell the rabbis, everyone goes to Maron on Lag BaOmer. So they came to the rabbi in the mirror. They said, well, I'm going to Lag BaOmer. He goes, how close can you get to the grave? There's 20,000 people there. You can't. He said, I'm in the back. But what's the point of being in the back? I pretend like I'm in the front. He goes, to stay in Yerushalayim and pretend you're there also. Yeah. There's an idea of pretend you're there. So the rest of the spies were like, you know what? Chevron, bunch of giants. We'll pray here and think about it. We'll pretend we're there. But Kalev stood up and said, no. I'm going there to pray. And Kalev had what Akiva was hinting at, a Ruach HaCheres, a different spirit. Different spirit, not meaning duplicity, double spy, according to the Netziv. Double spirit means, not different spirit means, he had guts, he had confidence, he had complete belief in God. And therefore he told the other spies, you guys, you're sitting here bashing on Israel, you're believing your own nonsense, you don't understand, we're protected. We're going to win this fight. There's nothing to be worried about. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go by myself, late at night, with no protection, I'm going to go into a fortified city with the Torah adds on to tell you, by the way, the giants are living there then. I'm going to go in there. That was a major move.
He did Hashem's will.
He did Hashem's will. So later on, when Hashem's trying to praise Kalev, of course Yeshua is going to survive, but I want to give an extra praise to Kalev. A different spirit was within him. Not the different spirit of double agent, the different spirit of real belief, real inner strength, confidence this was going to work out. So when God's telling the spies, you all messed up, you know who didn't mess up? And you know who has proof he didn't mess up? Kalev. Because when you were all standing on the outskirts of Hebron, that's why he says, he once said by Yavoyu, that they all stood on, he learned it in the Pasuk, that they all stayed by Yalu Banegev, they all went there. Why is he mentioning now anything about the giants being there, all that stuff? No, because only one person, one person had the guts to go in there. Everyone else was right there, they stayed on the outside. So we want to mention that as, by the way, shout out to Kalev. That's what this is. And we can't shout out to Yeshua at the same time. Yes, Charles.
Maybe Kalev is even greater because Yeshua had to have his name changed. Yeshua.
Excellent.
Had to have an extra protection for when he was going on the spy trip.
Excellent.
He had to change his name, which means he already had a cock inside of him.
So one of the answers given, another answer given. Similar, or there's different ways to do it. They want to say that Yeshua, either you could say Yeshua was not tested as well, or he avoided the test completely different ways. Right. And he didn't have to deal with the spies because he had special protection. So when Hashem's giving a shout out, the shout out to Kalev was, you know what, Kalev? You didn't have your star Rebbe praying for you separately. So you stepped up. In the beginning of the parsha, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for Yeshua to be successful, not for Kalev. So Kalev, when he won, tougher test. As we know in Judaism, it's not about winning as much as it's about the test itself, the effort. So Yeshua's effort was not required as much. Yeshua did not require as much effort because he had a get out of jail free card because he had Moses sitting on the other side of the world praying for him. So his test was minimal compared to Kalev's test. Kalev's test was much stronger. So God says, I want to remind everyone, Kalev. And he gave the details.
That's like Kolo taking a difficulty hard test while Yeshua had a easy medium test.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we're giving a shadow, we give it to Kolo. So far we give a few answers. We gave that Kolo had children for the end of the Pasuk, shall possess it. Yeshua didn't have children. We're not sure when, how. We have another answer saying that because my different spirit only applies to color. What does different spirit mean? Different spirit can mean double spy. Different spirit can mean he had better emunah. And when it says that he followed me wholeheartedly, or in different spirit, color was greater because color didn't have Moshe Rabbeinu in his corner backing him up and praying for him. And therefore, he didn't get the special shout out. I will say
another Rabbi.
He says the reason it doesn't say it here is because when the Jews went to Israel, who was in charge? Yeshua. So of course Yeshua is going to Israel. There's no idea. Of course, he's the next leader of Klal Yisrael. I don't have to say it. So God was saying, by the way, you're all staying here, and Kalev is not going to. I mean, they say, what about Yeshua? Obviously Yeshua. He's the leader. We just learned last week he's taken over. So I don't have to say that, by the way, when it comes to the, I don't know how it works, the presidency. I don't know how it works. The vice president, of course, he's the vice president. It's like, we don't need the extra thing. Doesn't say it. Another similar answer, we're throwing them out there, mentioning the opposite mirror of what we just said. A second ago was saying the beauty is that Yeshua is going to be the leader, so it's obvious. Others want to say that because, I think the Ramban says this, that because Yeshua was going to be the leader, right now when Hashem is talking to everyone, he doesn't want to remind Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, you're not going to make it. So he's saying Kalev is going to make it across. Yes, we know Yeshua is going to make it across. But when we start making the thought process, Yeshua makes it across, what does that mean? Oh, he's the leader. What does that mean? Moshe is not going to make it. So for the sensitivity of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem doesn't say it. So here we have several answers. We're going to stop now on why this pasuk specifically chose to single out, better phrase, Kalev going to Israel and his offspring inheriting it from him, as opposed to Yeshua surviving, which he did, and we know about, we have a book about, being specifically mentioned in this pasuk. Have a great Shabbos.